This Deadly Choices Radio podcast is sponsored by Deadly Choices. A deadly choice is a healthy choice.
You're tuned to Deadly Choices Radio with your host, Sinead Clements.
Which way, everyone? You're listening to Deadly Choices Radio on 98.9 for the best country. And you're with your girl, Sinead Clements here. I'm a proud Kalkadoon, Birra and Jitterbal woman from far north Queensland. But before I go any further, I'd like to acknowledge and pay my respects to the traditional custodians of the land, both past, present and emerging. So welcome today for a Deadly Choices Radio, our hourly show dedicated towards mob making deadly choices. And remember, deadly choices can be anything from eating healthy, remaining active in both mind, body and spirit, ensuring you keep up to date with your 715 health checks, resisting any temptation to take up smoking, or taking the right steps to quit smoking for you and your mob. So today in the studio, we have a special guest. Goes by the name of Will Gold. He's an IUIH, so that's Institute for Urban Indigenous Health, dietitian. And later we'll also catch up with our doctors, one of our regular doctors, Dr. Jonathan from Brisbane ATSICS, to talk all things COVID and make sure we're up to date with all things that are happening around COVID-19. And we'll also have a little yarn from the Brisbane Bronco boys who did their launch yesterday at one of our Woolloongabba clinics, and launched the new Deadly Choices shirts, which look deadly. I'm excited to see them out and about. So Will, let us know where you're from and what your role is for IUIH.
Yeah, good morning. I'm from Caloundra, Sunshine Coast, so I'm pretty fortunate to be pretty close to home, living in Biwa and working across the Moreton ATSICS clinic. So you can find me at D-Bay, Strathpine, Caboolture and Morayfield. So working as a dietitian full-time in the community, so I do a day at each clinic. That's my job. Pretty much just seeing clients one-on-one. I do a little bit of work with the Work It Out crowd, so we get our chronic disease. Yep. Exercise and education sort of groups. I'll do that a few times a year. That's just started back up, so looking forward to seeing those groups again.
Now, I know a lot of mob, and even personally myself, trying to find out new recipes and checking in a good quick tucker and things like that for my 2020 working from home too, had a little bit more time to cook. What was 2020 like for you as a dietitian and just getting through that year?
Yeah, I think for most clients, working from home can be problematic.
Mm-hmm.
The fridge is right there.
Yes.
So it's all too easy to duck down
Snack City
and grab a little extra something between clients. So I think that challenge was, after speaking to a lot of people, once we got back to face-to-face, was a pretty consistent theme for most of our clients. A lot of people are coming in, checking in, saying, oh, I've put on a few kilos through those first early lockdowns. And it's actually unfortunate that that's having, an obvious effect on people's health, both their physical and mental health. So, yeah, I'm helping a lot of people out to try and re-correct that lockdown weight gain that they've had.
Yeah, I know definitely in March and April, definitely was snacking far too much. And I think because of the lockdown, we didn't get to use our regular walking, whether it be walking upstairs, walking into work and out and all that sort of stuff. But it did definitely make me have a look at what I was eating. And also I think food plays a huge role on your mental health, absolutely, with the energy and making sure you feel good and all that sort of gut health stuff. So is there anything that from 2020 you want to take into 2021, to this year, that you learned from last year?
I learned last year that I cannot bake bread. I think a lot of people probably gave that a go. If you saw what was emptied on the shelves, I found that pretty funny.
Yeah.
Everyone got stuck into baking bread. You could not buy the little yeast sachets
Absolutely.
To make your own bread. But, yeah, I was no good at that, so I'll stick with a packet.
You'll
stuff.
Have to get one of the old aunties to teach you how to bake damper.
Yeah. So what did I take away from all of that? I mean, to get a bit more time to, I think, one thing I always do bang on about in my sessions is cooking from scratch.
Yeah.
And I think, being at home, you would think would give us more time to do that. I would like to hope that more people were cooking from scratch, but it was a pretty stressful year, so maybe that wasn't the case. But that's always one of my key messages for everyone, is the more you can be in charge of what's going on your plate, the better. And if that means, cooking from your basic ingredients. And I think there's just a stack of, whether you're into apps or just got access to a computer, there's so many good resources out there that can really help you yeah, just cook something new, something different, you know, just trying a new recipe here or there. But the key message is don't get too caught up on what it is. It's just give something a go. If it's starting with basic ingredients, you can't go too wrong.
Yeah, that's so true. And I think there's so much, you don't know what's already processed. You don't know what already added sugar and you're adding more. And you're 100%, I believe, in cooking from scratch. I think one of the craziest things with the pandemic was going to the shops. That was a nightmare. I know I didn't want to go to the shops too often. And when I did, I think I was there and the rice was gone. It was just all gone. And that's a staple for most people, but definitely in our community. And just, you know, one fellow was next to me. He's like, how am I going to feed 5 boys? This is crazy. Mm-hmm. So things like that, and just finding alternative ways to cook and different things to use. I don't know. Do you have any kind of tips that you used last year that for people avoiding the shops? I know I definitely delved too much into Uber Eats. That was not my friend at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think that probably was a pretty big challenge for us as dietitians, is helping people navigate that, of like how to get around the shortages or how to think a bit creatively with something like that, especially we've never really had anything like this. So it was a pretty crazy time. There was definitely a lot of our community that were struggling with that, and yeah, come up with creative ways. I think some of the simplest things is just going to your frozen and tin stuff.
Yes.
You know, there's lots of that stuff there. It's generally pretty cheap, but again, you gotta kind of know what to do with it. I'm a big fan of some tin stuff. Some of it can be problematic, but I'll sort of talk people through that. But yeah, you know, shouldn't be afraid of tin veggies or frozen veggies. There's some good stuff out there that you can make do with, especially when the aisles are empty.
Yeah, I remember having this yarn at one of our sporting trips a while ago, and they said frozen veggies are just as good. That's a bit of a myth that they're not as good as your fresh veggies, but they do the exact same thing, right?
Yeah, I just tell everyone, look for the word snap frozen. If you find if you find that word on a frozen package, you're kind of heading in the right direction. So snap frozen means it'll be picked at the farm and straight into the freezer. So that process basically locks in a lot of the nutrients by freezing them on the farm.
Yep.
It's the exposure to heat, oxygen, light. It's those sorts of things that if they're just left in a shed, that will deteriorate, basically make them less nutritious over time. So yeah, snap frozen for your frozen stuff.
Snap frozen, that sounds good. But yeah, I know, it's just such a guilty feeling seeing all those veggies go moldy in that fridge, looking at you, making you feel even more guilty. So yeah, I'm a frozen girl. I just make sure I get them. And
I think just on the note of like recipes and apps, there are some good apps out there that you can actually plug in what you've got in your fridge. You know, if you have troubles thinking outside the box for some creative recipes, have a look on your app store and recipe apps, and there's ones where you can actually just sort of plug in what you've got in the cupboards, and it'll try to come up with a good recipe for you. So if you're not, you know, not that creative with your recipes, you know, technology is really great for that.
And if mum's not I call mum almost every night, just mum, what am I eating? What are you eating? I need an idea. But because I play rugby league and work is busy, you don't want to think about what you got to eat every day, and then you got to go to the shops and get it. So I think that's an amazing idea. Is there any apps that you would point us into any direction right now?
As I've been talking, I cannot think of the names of them.
I know, that happens all the time.
Yeah, I do know that there are some out there, but I cannot think of their name off the top of my head. I do personally recommend one app all the time as just a recipe app. It's called Meal Lime. So like having a meal and the citrus lime. So it's all one word, M-E-A-L-I-M-E.
Yep.
No sponsors there. I just like the app and I like how it works. It's basically just a range of really good recipes. It's a free app. It is American, so you've got to convert it to kilos and mils. Otherwise, you'll have a nightmare trying to figure out ounces and pounds. But it's a great app. You can set all your own preferences, but the beauty is that it creates a shopping list for you. So for a lot of our clients, it's like, it's great to look at a recipe that it's a bit of a pain to then go and write the shopping list, figure out how much you need for your recipe. This one just the simplicity of it is it just tells you exactly how much meat or rice or whatever you need to go and buy. You tick off the shopping list, and then when it comes time, you bring up the ingredients for the meal that you're going to make, and you know you've got all the ingredients mm-hmm. there. And I've had really good response from clients. Even some doctors have gotten onto it.
Nice.
You know, that have really enjoyed it. So I've had a lot of feedback on that app, and there's stacks of them like
yeah,
that. That's
for
just
sure.
a particular one I use, and I find for the most part, probably 80-90% of the recipes are pretty spot on with being healthy. But like I said at the start, it's cooking from scratch. If you're using basic raw ingredients, you really can't go too wrong. And that's really take-home message. Cook from scratch.
Yeah, so everyone, if you're just joining us, I'm having a yarn to Will Gold, who is a dietitian at the Institute for Urban Indigenous Health. And we're just eating from scratch, cooking from scratch. Now, I always go back to say food is medicine, and if I'm definitely feeding my body right, I feel so much better. And now that we're in start of our women's Q Cup season too, so everyone's getting fit and everyone's in pre-season. But the funniest thing is the first time I'm actually making sure my meals match my food, my exercise. Mm. Because, you know, 26, getting older now, trying to keep up with the 18, 19-year-old girls running around. And I feel like my body can recover so much better. And it's just, if I miss a meal or I'm not doing right that day, I can feel it and the energy's down. So I guess, why is it so important? We know exactly why it's important to eat healthy, but for you as a dietitian, what do you tell your clients of why it's important to eat healthy?
Oh, that's a could be a really complicated question
yeah.
because everyone is different and everyone's
exactly.
needs are different. But at the end of the day, energy mm-hmm. I think is probably the most obvious thing is that, you know, we need food for energy. It's our fuel. I
yes.
use the analogy of putting fuel in the car, and if you put diesel in a petrol engine, it's probably not going to work so well.
I haven't heard that before. That's so good. Yeah.
So, you know, you put the wrong fuel in, then you'll get an engine that doesn't want to run properly.
Yeah,
so,
you'd be calling the mechanic.
So, yeah, depending on what your needs are, if it's sport and performance, then you need the right fuel. If it's, you know, just day-to-day stuff, it doesn't matter. We need energy. Mm-hmm. We need fuel. And if you put the wrong stuff in, then that's what you get. You get something that won't run properly, I guess.
That's pretty simple. That's a pretty simple thing to think about it, hey. Mm.
There's another way to think about it is that we're constantly building new parts of ourselves, whether
yes.
we injure ourselves, whether, you know, go to the doc and you take blood, you know, and they do some tests mm-hmm. on you, you've got to make new blood. So whatever it is that the body's rebuilding every day, which happens in your sleep, every night
yep.
we're repairing, we're rebuilding. And what are we using for that? We're using the food that we've eaten that day.
Mm-hmm.
So what you put in, you know, that saying you are what you eat is actually
spot on.
100% spot on is that the building blocks of what makes you comes directly from your food. So if you want to put, you know, processed takeaway stuff in there, then expect the outcome to be maybe not ideal.
Yeah, and I heard along the way the lines is, I know as athletes, protein and carbs and all that sort of stuff, but someone told me that the protein and the carbs don't actually work unless you're eating the veggies. And I was like, okay, so I have to be eating veggies like almost every meal? Mm. Would you say, like, in the sense of, I mean, for me, to eat veggies and to just eat them straight up, I'd douse them in lemon because they make that taste 1,000 times better for me. But, you know, how do we get our so much veggies into our daily intake if that's not as natural for us?
I think going back to that first part is like, do we need veggies? There is a case to say, no, we don't.
Okay.
And as a dietitian, you probably think that's the opposite of what I'd say. But it's, you know, functioning and functioning to a high level
mm-hmm.
is two different things. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, in terms of fuel, you know, a bit of sausage on a bit of bread provides you all your macros, carbohydrates,
okay.
protein and fat. And in terms of
energy, speaking my language, I like
that. You know, the old Bunnings
snag,
sausage,
yeah.
Will give you all the macros, which is what you're talking about, the macronutrients, mm-hmm. protein, fat, carbs.
Yep.
And if you want to grow, that's fine if you want to live off that. But how well is that system, that body, going to function? So
mm-hmm.
like we said, you know, what are the building blocks of the body? So yes, you can survive. But what is the quality? You know,
exactly.
how do you feel? How's that engine running? How are you waking up every day? How are you recovering? So that's where the veggies come in. So that's where the fruit, the veggies, the range of those different, like what we call the core food groups, really come in to make up the difference of what is a really sluggish, poor performing body that gets sick or infections or doesn't recover from illness, you're off work for extended times because you're crook. So it's those, that's where the difference comes is what kind of engine do you want to run? Do you want to run a high performance sports car or do you want to run a, I don't know, I'm trying to think of something that's not very good, but you know,
where I'm going with average that, so. Motor vehicle. Yeah, so, you know, when we talk about high performance and all that sort of stuff, I guess we, you know, a lot of our families, I know my sister, she, mum would cook the big meal and she'd be like, nah, mum, I want just some eggs on toast. So how do we cater to, I guess, the whole family and make sure we can cook something? Because there's a lot of people who don't like certain foods, but I don't know, what is there any tips for our mob that they can cater to the whole family but also make it healthy, you know, make it, like you said, bare minimum will do, but the results you're going to get out of it. So you want, you know, your kids to grow, you want your adults to remain healthy. Yeah. Is there any tips around catering to the whole family?
I think in trying to simplify it is healthy eating doesn't need to be complicated. When you turn on the news or the radio and you're listening to ads or high profile celebrities talking about diets and nutrition, which I know we're probably going to get into in a little bit, but they do make it complicated.
Yeah.
And it's so annoying as someone who has to then help people sort of navigate all this stuff when we're in the clinic having all these questions about fad diets or what's the latest craze. But it actually is really simple. And I think when you start thinking about catering for different people, it's like, that in itself is problematic. If you want to cater for five different preferences in the house, cool, go for it. Not what I would recommend.
Probably won't work for a while.
What I would say to most parents out there is if you're cooking and you're working and you're paying the bills and you're the one putting the food on the table, then just make one meal. Hey, if they don't like it, that's their choice. But in terms of like balancing out the meal, if you want your meat for your protein, your rice or your potato for your carbs and some veggies, like, you know, meat, the old meat and three veg. Obviously, when we talk about performance and the quality, there's a lot of variation in that. But, you know, as long as you got the three components on the plate, the veggies, the carbs and the protein, you know, you got a good starting base. And if there are particular things that people don't like and you want to cater to that, that's fine. But don't overcomplicate it. As long as there's a good whack of veggies on the plate, you might, some clients might hear that we have a Deadly Choices plate in the clinic.
Yes.
Actually, we give to clients if they come and see us, come and see the dietitian or the diabetes educator. So you can get a Deadly Choices plate that shows you the proportion of protein, carbs, and your veggies on your plate. And really, I say to people, just start with that. Whatever makes up the veggies, whatever your preferences are, cool, we'll start with that. If it's, you know, if it's just carrots and peas and broccoli, cool, start with that. Don't overcomplicate it. You don't need fancy things that celebrities are promoting. You just keep it simple. And that's why I think your nutrition messages get lost, is because there's a lot of money to be made out
there. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Different diets and different programs, and it's actually really simple, but there's a lot of money in the weight loss industry, the health industry, so they make it complicated.
Yeah, 100%. I know me, myself, like I wouldn't eat for 4 or 5 hours, maybe 6 sometimes, just because I'm so busy, have a coffee in the middle and just keep pushing through. But then I'd get home and I'm just like, oh, where's the fridge? I'm going to eat everything I can to find, you know, what I need. And you just, that binge eating, how, for proportion wise, how can we combat binge eating and things like that?
Yeah, so you actually kind of nailed it with the time frame, 4 or 5 hours. So one of my top tips is, you know, try and eat, don't go more than 4 or 5 hours, exactly what you said, without eating, because your appetite will ruin you. So basically your appetite will, you know, make up the difference of what you haven't had. So getting into a routine is really important. Planning ahead. It doesn't, like I said, it doesn't have to be complicated, but just a little bit of forward planning and knowing what your day's like for you. And if you can, you know, sort of plan ahead or know where you're going, or if you have to buy something, like, you know, the old 7-Eleven servos do some healthy sandwiches.
Yeah.
You know, if I rock up to the Morayfield clinic and I forgot my lunch, I'll just walk around the corner to 7-Eleven and get it. get a healthy yogurt and a bit of fruit and a healthy sandwich from the servo. May have been sitting there for a while, but
yeah, right.
It's better than the meat pie, and you know, keeps me guilt free, I guess.
Yeah,
so, you know, it's just knowing where you're going to be, what's happening, and try not to you know, go a long time without eating. And I find a lot of people will, you know, not be hungry in the morning, mm-hmm. so I'll skip brekkie,
yes,
run off a coffee, then I'll get to lunch.
The tradie diet.
Might have just something light, and by the time the afternoon kicks in there, yeah, hungry as, and that appetite just kicks in and they're eating all night. And one of the ways I kind of encourage people to think about it is, whether you're sport, mm-hmm. you know, high performance athlete, or you know, just the average Joe walking down the street, is to think about when you need your fuel. So going back to the analogy about the car, if you're not fueling up when you're ready to drive that car, then you're putting the fuel in at the wrong time.
Exactly.
And the majority of people who are not fueling up at the right time are fueling up at night when we're all sitting on our backside watching mm-hmm. telly. So with the car's parked in the garage, and we're, you know, and we're putting all this fuel in, and it's going to one place only. It's just going to the storage tank for the reserves that we never end up burning.
Ooh,
so, you know,
goodness. And then you wake up the next morning so sluggish.
And you're not hungry because you've put all that fuel in at night. So it becomes a vicious cycle. And coffee is an appetite suppressant. So it will suppress your appetite a little bit, but it'll give you a good pick-me-up. So mm-hmm. you're just adding to it. So it's actually just rethinking, when am I busy? When am I active? When am I moving? Even if it's just going to the shops and doing the shopping, like you're active. So you need to fuel yourself for the activity. And it makes then that hangriness that comes on later in the day much easier to manage if you're putting the fuel in at the right time.
And I think I remember hearing somewhere saying water will help you and it'll make you less hungry. And I don't know, what are you, how, because I feel like food now as I get older, I'm like, it's a relationship. And I hear you say stop complicating it, which makes sense, because that relationship can be so complicated so quick. But if you just simplify and get your fundamentals right, when you need it, how you need it, what do you, you know, don't overthink it, veggies, your proportions. How does water come into play with what you're eating?
Yeah, super important. I would say probably 90% of clients I see, I could tell them that they mm-hmm. need to drink more water.
Yeah.
I guess for everyone, there's a, depending on where you live and your water supply and the old rusty pipes or whatever.
Yeah.
I have a lot of clients that do say, you know, the water out of the tap's pretty gross. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, we can't avoid it. We're, you know, 60 to 70% water. You know, I like to remind clients, you know, think before, you know, my ancestors, us white fellas came along.
Yeah.
It was only water. That's all you had.
Exactly. There was no teas. Know. There was no cup of teas, no coffees.
No tea, no coffee, no soft drink, no nothing.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, that water is so important. It can change your appetite. It can make you really restless and irritable. It can affect your sleep. Yes, it can have a negative effect on a whole range of things. And the beauty of being well hydrated is it also helps just keep that appetite in check. So, you know, you can't avoid water. The general recommendation is a couple of litres or 8 cups a day, but you can also use your body weight. So that's what I will tell a lot of individuals, to figure out how much you need as an individual. Your absolute minimum is you take your weight. So mine's 80 kilos.
Yep.
So I take the 8 and I double it.
Okay.
1.6 liters.
Yeah.
So that is the absolute minimum that my body needs to function properly.
Right.
It's likely, you know, variation on exercise and temperature of the day and all sorts of other things. But if you're not getting that absolute minimum, your body's not going to function.
Mm-hmm.
That can affect your brain function. That can affect your, you know, your kidneys. It can affect your bowels.
Everything, really.
Sleep,
hey.
Appetite. You know, water is probably one of the simple things. Hey, it's free.
Yes.
It's free. You can get it pretty much.
There's a lot of things that cost a lot of things in this world, so you might as well take the free things while you can get them, right?
Yeah, water is super important. And again, it comes back to that simplicity. It's like, you know, if you've got a busy day, put a bit of fruit in your bag, you know, eat your 3 meals, drink your water.
And it's funny.
Just do that.
When I go up North Queensland, back to home, like my mom would be drinking water all the time, just ice, straight water in the summer because it's so hot and they just need it to cool down. But then winter rolls around and we're going to be rolling into winter in the next couple of months. The water definitely lacks and just drops off huge, and then no one wants to go to the toilet every 5-10 minutes.
Mm.
So is there any tips of you know, I think I've started to, definitely in winter, drink more room temp water instead of the cold, cold water. And I find that just sipping it makes me last a lot longer during the day, and I don't get frustrated and want to forget about it and that sort of stuff. So is there any tips, I guess, leading into the colder month of how do we keep our water intake up?
Yeah, so water, I think with any of the things we're talking about, it's trying to create a habit for yourself.
Yes.
That helps you, you know, either remind you or just make it work for you. I don't think there's a one size fits all. Mm-hmm. I do recommend a lot of people just get themselves a reusable drink bottle. I think DC has a Deadly Choices, yep. have one that they hand out at the carnivals and that. And so if you can get yourself one of those and get used to just carrying it around. Hey, if you want it room temperature cold, you want to put a bit of something in there for a bit of flavour. A lot of people are using infusion teas.
Yes.
So for the most part, I would say they're a pretty good option if you just like to add a bit of flavour to it. Most of the infusion teas are sugarless, so you don't have to worry about that. But whatever floats your boat, you know, mm-hmm. try everything. Try all of those options. But I try and recommend people have a couple of drink bottles.
So yep.
They might have one on the desk at work or one in the car if it doesn't get too hot. But one near their set of keys so mm-hmm. they remember to go out. You know, it's just, I don't know, have drink bottles all
I
around the house.
I store them around for sure.
So it's there to remind yourself. But it's kind of, you know, separate. There's apps that will
yes,
tell you, remind
yes.
you to drink some water. Yeah, it's not, like I said, there's not one approach. It's anything you can do to make it easy on yourself. So try them all.
Yeah, and I think, you know, everyone's different. And that's what you've been saying along the lines today is everyone's different. We're all, we all have to trial and error, essentially, what works for us. I know that during COVID, I would have this bad habit of getting up, looking for the fridge in the middle of the night, and whatever there was a snack, and I'd go to it. But now that I'm energizing my body more during the day, and I'm working on that day stuff, you know, started my carrots and hummus snacks and all these kind of crazy stuff I've been seeing. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll test this out and see how it goes. So for people who are trying to cut that COVID weight out, how do we, you know, do we have to count calories? Is that a thing?
I never recommend counting calories.
Okay.
I am not willing to do it myself.
So yes.
I ain't going to ask anyone else to do it. I cannot stand counting calories. I'd
like to hear that.
When we start thinking about calories, it starts the conversation talking about weight.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of my, and probably most dietitians out there, I would actually say, is we get thought of as the weight police, the food police, and every time you come and see a dietitian, they're going to put you on the scales.
Mm-hmm.
You ask any of my clients and they'll tell you I never put them on the scales.
Cool.
And I just think, you know, if you need to for a medical reason, the doctor has identified that, cool, do it as much as they believe it's necessary for a medical reason. But just in general, checking your weight, it's so problematic and it's not helpful. You know, that's why the weight loss industry is called the weight loss industry.
Mm-hmm.
If it was so easy to lose weight or it was all about losing weight, then everyone would do it and it wouldn't be a problem. But that's the catch, is they call it the weight loss industry to get people fixated on losing weight. And I say to people, first thing you can do if you've got scales at home, throw them in the bin. Get rid of them. If you want to measure anything, maybe, you know, you can come see the nurses or myself in the clinic and do measurements. So we do tape measures. So looking at your waist, maybe your hip, if you want to, you know, maybe you want to reduce your butt size, maybe you want to make it bigger.
Hey.
But it's, you know, looking at things through a different perspective. But, you know, even measurements, again, I really don't recommend them anyway. It's how do you feel? What do you, you know, how important is that number? Oh, it's, for a lot of people, it's meaningless.
We've been so conditioned, right, to just that number.
Conditioned for weight loss. It's like, well, we want fat loss, not weight loss. It's like, chop your leg off and you lose 5 kilos real quick. But yeah, it's that idea that we need to lose weight. It's really problematic, and it mentally is really problematic. So first thing I could do is probably get people to stop thinking about the weight they want to lose and how they want to feel.
Yeah.
You want to feel lighter. You want to have more energy. You want to be able to do what are the things that are you're finding harder to do that you would like to do. If it's getting back into a local sports comp or something like that, or just keeping up with your kids, think about it from that perspective. Think about the things that you want to enjoy more that may involve movement or getting around or energy, and focus on that. So that's what I want to do. I want to enjoy that. So that's my goal, is to do that activity or do it for longer or have more energy to do it. And that's where you start from. If you start using weight as your goal, it's a very negative mindset that it gets you into, and it's problematic, I would say. So think about the things you want to do, the things you enjoy.
It's not long term, really, right? You can't keep thinking about your weight for a long term, long period of time. That's just exhausting.
Yeah, if you have something positive to work towards, you're more likely to succeed. So I do a lot of goal setting with clients. So what are your goals? Oh, I want to lose weight. It's like, well, has someone told you that you need to lose weight? It's like, well, possibly, or that's just what you think your goals are, because that's what everyone thinks their goals are. It's all about weight loss. So it's, you got to rethink the social norms of weight loss and actually, you know, make it individual to yourself. What is it you really want? So, you know, if you look good in the mirror, maybe that's part of it. Hey, who doesn't?
Yeah, look good, feel good.
But the number on the scales has got no determination on how you look and feel. So that'd be a big thing, is just get rid of the scales. Come and see me. I'm not going to weigh you. I'll talk about some good positive goals.
I love that. So if you're just tuning in to Deadly Choices Radio here on 98.9, forget your calorie counting, which is music to my ears, because I ain't got time to be counting all that sort of stuff. So we're just talking about all things dietitians and relationships with food. Is there anything else, I guess, that, you know, you've been talking about, just that basic relationship and how you feel? And often I feel like if my clothes are feeling a bit baggier, and I got a lot more energy, and I'm eating at the right times, and I'm sleeping better, I think that's where my food is best at. Mm-hmm. So is there anything you want to leave us today, bottom line, where you tell your clients and you want to tell and, I guess, debunk that or send the weight loss industry a bit broke, hopefully. The last bit of advice for us around eating.
Just quickly on the old diet myths and fads that are out there. The one thing is, I would say, is if it sounds complicated, it's probably not for you.
So
if it sounds too removed from what you're already doing, it's probably not for you. That's, you know, I just find that there will always be a fad diet, because it's coming from an industry that's trying to make
marketing
money off you. So one thing I say to a lot of clients is if it doesn't at least somewhat resemble what you're currently doing, then it's probably not going to work long term. So, you know, if you're doing something and you enjoy it, you're going to stick with it. If it's really different to what you do, hey, you might want to try it. You might enjoy it. But if it just seems like it's so far out there that you're not likely to stick to it, then that's a waste of time.
You're not going to.
Yeah, and again, there's so many options out there that do complicate it, but it just comes back to, you know, doing the simple things. It's like move more, you know, eat well, sleep well. So I think water and sleep, I bang on a lot to clients about.
Well, that's your recovery, right? Sleep.
Yeah, if we sleep, you know, we're meant to sleep 8 hours a day. It's one third of our life is asleep. It's got to be important.
For sure.
And I guarantee every person will say they don't get regular good quality sleep. Some people might get it some of the time, but a lot of our clients out there that really struggle with their sleep for all different reasons. But sleep, water, get the veggies on the plate, eat regularly.
Can't go wrong with those simple steps, right?
Yep. That's, you know, it's the foundation. I think with so much information out there, we make it overcomplicated for ourselves. And I am so often reminding people, if you're not getting the basics right, don't worry about all that complicated nonsense, because if you're not sleeping, you're not sleeping, you know, you're good 7-8 hours, you're not drinking water, enough water in the day, you're not at least got half your plate full of veggies, whether it's tin, frozen or fresh, I don't really care. You shouldn't either. You know, start with those basics, eat regularly, bit of fruit for a snack, go for it. We could get into all the sugar in fruit and drinks and things like that. If it come out of the ground or off a tree, it's probably all right for you.
Good to go. Well, I apart from water and eating right, big goal for me, my deadly choice right now is just stretching, you know, working out so much. And it's kind of, it's the basic form of movement for me. So I've just been stretching as much as I can. But, Will, what is your deadly choice for 2021?
What is my deadly choice? I don't know that I really thought of it. I'm trying to get back into fitness.
Yeah. So
I think being stuck at home and losing my routine was hard. So I definitely lost my... I've got a four-month-old at home. So
okay. You have a reason.
I have a reason why my sleep is not the best.
Yeah.
My routine is just starting to get back in. So I'm just trying to move more, find the things that I enjoy, whether it's surfing, swimming, or something else. So, yeah, just doing movement that I enjoy. I don't really like gyms or going and doing those real structured things. If I don't enjoy it, I won't stick to it. And that's usually my message for clients too when it comes to moving. If you're not enjoying it, it's probably not going to last. Same with the food. If
absolutely.
If it's too far removed from what you're doing, then you probably won't stick with it. So you've got to enjoy it. You've got to be, you know, positive about it. You've got to have some positive goals to set and go from there.
I love that. Just do what you love and stick with it, and don't change too much. Keep to what you're doing, and just find little ways, hey, to keep adding and building those blocks one at a time.
Yeah, I think it's those real small steps. Where a lot of the fad diets, they try and overhaul everything all at once, and you know the motivation for something like that only lasts so long. I think the better way is pick one thing at a time, and just if it's the water, if it's the sleep, it's just eating regularly, pick one, start with that, work on that this month, and the next month move to something else. And by the end of the year, you might have had 12
new things.
12 new things that have, you know, you don't need a New Year's resolution after that. You might have changed everything that you need to
for
in
sure.
a year, and your health and fitness or energy, all those things will be improved.
All right. Well, thank you for coming in and having a yarn to us on the Deadly Choices Radio here at 98.9 FM for the best country. It's been awesome to have a chat. Will, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Cheers.
You're tuned to Deadly Choices Radio with your host, Sinead Clements.
Now, we'll go and have a listen to one of the interviews that Steve Renoff did at our Broncos launch day yesterday at the Wollongabba, I believe actually it was Monday at the Wollongabba launch. We were launching our new Deadly Choices Bronco shirts, which there's some pretty cool designs there. I think there's one of the old nostalgia Broncos designs, which I really love. So, yeah, enjoy.
Everyone, two very special guests on the show this week. Earlier in the week, we did our Deadly Choices and Brisbane Bronco launch for, I think this is like our eighth year now or so, and so two players that were here today and ambassadors from the Broncos, Katoni Staggs and Patrick Carrigan, thanks for being on.
No worries.
Oh, thanks for having us.
So we went through this before upstairs, but what's it mean, I'll go to you, Pat, around Deadly Choices and what that means to the community?
Yeah, I think it's super important. Obviously, a lot of the Deadly Choices programs revolved around preventative healthcare and getting out to the community and the elders. And, you know, like I said, I think earlier, but it's really important to stay engaged with those programs. And it's awesome to see the rewards that, you know, the Deadly Choices programs can see. And it's awesome that those people can get a Bronx shirt, you know, from getting their preventative health check. So I think you can definitely see the rewards in the community, and I'm stoked to be a part of it.
That's great. Katoni, you talked earlier about going home to community, and you see a lot of these shirts, and you give them down to the kids or whoever. And believe it or not, with our mob, the shirts are a big thing.
Yeah, they are, especially with the design as well. You know, I didn't say that in the last one, but the design as well in it, you know, tells a story as well in the design, and plus, you know, it's some of the people's totems as well that are on there. And it's a special thing to be on the. I mean, you know, the Deadly Choice, and especially the Broncos one as well. Like I said, going back home and seeing all these, you know, Deadly Choices shirts around, and you know that the young ones and the old ones are getting out there, getting checked up. So,
yeah.
You know, it's a massive thing where I'm from as well. And the more shirts we can see around in the community, know that they're doing a good job, and that they're going to get checked up, which we want.
Yeah, and I think that's the most important thing when we do these Deadly Choices things, and we just remember exactly what these shirts mean. As you touched on that, it means a 715 health check, which we encourage obviously everyone to do at the moment, especially now. You guys are wearing the new shirts. So these are the 2021 shirts, and they're going to be there in the clinics across Queensland for our mob to access.
Yeah, it's awesome. I think there's five different shirts, and we've got two of them on today. And like you said, it's if you get your 715 health check. This is a 3XL, so there's plenty of sizes to go around. So, get your health check done, and you can find yourself in one of these shirts.
Yeah, from a community point of view, and you touched on it earlier, I mean, I used to have the same thing. I used to ring my mum, and she'd always talk about someone passing, and it was all too early. And this is what's so good about our shirts, the Deadly Choices shirts, and those 715 health checks.
Yeah, it is. You don't want it to get to the point where it's too late, but when we got clinics and an opportunity for the Indigenous people to go out and get a check, it doesn't take long, and so it's just a simple go in and book yourself in, and you get there and they tell you, and they give you a shirt as well, which me, I'm rocking one now, and this is the new one, and they're pretty comfortable as well, so. The shirts are important, but the checkup's the most important thing. When you get the checkup, you go in there and make sure everything's okay with yourself. Plus, you just go in there putting smiles on people's face, and making sure that they got nothing wrong with them.
That's right. Also, just one thing before we go. Season 2021, how's that looking? I mean, I must admit, you guys are in the office a couple of weeks ago, and you seem a lot more upbeat than you've been, and I'm hearing around training from Kevin that it's all going well, and it's just a different place.
Yeah, it's good. We're all ripping in. I think that's one of Kevy's main mottos is for new guys back used to don the jersey, you got to train hard and reap the rewards first before you can enjoy any sort of success off the field. So the boys are ripping in. We just want to build week to week and put together some performances to make the loyal fans that we had last year proud of, and for people in Brisbane to want to rock the jersey, out every day. So, yeah, we're ripping in, and I'm super excited for the year to start.
Yeah, that's great. You're back running now, Tony, so where are you at?
I just started running. I was doing my first couple of sessions up at the Grimma Boys School, just up the road from training, but, they got them gymnastic mats, and, it's a big cushion for my knee, but I just started running in the field, just doing some straight line running at the moment. Every bit in when you're coming back from rehab is hard, and now I'm running it's that step that I know that that I needed for the confidence boost, that I'm getting closer to where I left, and it's not far around the corner, so I just got to keep putting in and just keep training hard, and I'll be back where I was.
So before we end the show, we'd like to ask our participants to come on, what's your deadly choice, Pat?
My deadly choice is try and eat five veggies, two pieces of fruit a day, stay healthy.
Very good. Yours, Tony?
My deadly choice is, getting out and being active, just drinking plenty of water as well.
Pat, Tony, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.
Very good. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
You're listening to Deadly Choices Radio on 98.9 FM. Deadly Choices Radio. With your host, Sinead Clements. Hello, everyone. If you're joining us today on the Deadly Choices show, we're joined by Dr. Jonathan from Brisbane ATSICs, who is going to give us a bit of an update on COVID-19. Hey, Dr. Jonathan, how are you going today?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Sinead. How are you?
Very good. Can you give us a little bit of an update on what we're dealing with right now with the COVID-19? I know there's a few borders shut. Brisbane seems like, and Queensland seem like, we're still doing well.
Yeah, we are. We had, a few weeks ago had that bit of a scare, but we seem to have dodged another bullet, as people are saying. But, really, I guess the focus at the moment's down in Melbourne. So they've got a cluster that's kind of hitting close to 20 cases now, I think. So they're, I guess, hopeful that they're containing it, but certainly it's been a bit more of a few more cases than other places we've had. But still, I guess, showing that hotel quarantine is that kind of risk place for where cases can slip through, and it doesn't take much for it to start to get out into community. So hopefully they're on the right track there. Across the globe, we've seen reduced numbers of daily cases pretty consistently over the last couple of weeks. So we're now back to sort of the numbers, still very high, but to the numbers that we had back in October, whereas we kind of peaked really over Christmas time period, early January. So that's good. And the number of daily deaths is starting to drop as well. So we've still got a big issue on our hands, but definitely things are improving.
Yeah, and we've been talking about this rollout of the vaccines, and I know there's a couple going around in the world. So can you, I guess, bust a few myths or set this record straight for what we're trying to do here in Australia with the vaccine?
Yeah, sure. So we've got two vaccines that are likely to be the ones that we'll use. One's already been approved. That's the Pfizer vaccine. And it's been used widely across the globe already. So, you know, tens of millions of doses already done, which is good. That's good news for us, I suppose, that we're not kind of the starting point where we get to know that it's sort of safe and being used and a lot of people already. So that'll be rolled out now for what they're calling phase 1A, which is really more for the most vulnerable and the people are going to be most likely to be exposed. So it's kind of your hotel quarantine workers, people who are working with patients who have potentially COVID, and also our aged care disability residents and the staff that work there. So sort of to protect the most vulnerable and to kind of reduce the risk of a sort of outbreak cluster happening. So that's the sort of first wave, and we've received those vaccines yesterday, and so they'll be distributed, I think, early next week, and we might see the first people vaccinated, you know, potentially on Monday next week. So it's all happening very quickly. But as I said, it's a more restricted group, and it probably would just say that it will be a gradual rollout. We're not going to get like loads of vaccine the first week. Mm-hmm. It'll kind of happen, and we've got a supply chain coming through. So just be aware, I guess, across the whole state of Queensland, that's going to take a bit of time to roll out. And then probably in about 6 weeks, I guess, from now, 7 weeks maybe, we might start to see the other vaccine, which is the AstraZeneca vaccine, and that'll be rolled out more sort of broadly in general practices and other hospitals as well to get kind of bigger group of people vaccinated. So all healthcare workers, people with health conditions, people over the age of 70. That's sort of bigger rollout that everyone's preparing for at the moment.
Yeah, and I don't think I've asked this question, but why do we need two different vaccines?
That's a good question. I guess if we could have one that worked and was available and easy to transport, then that would be great. The Pfizer vaccine, I guess, is the one that's first available, but it's very difficult to kind of manage the cold chain of it because it needs to be stored at a extremely freezing temperature, negative 70 around about, and you can only kind of have it at sort of just above room, sort of 2 to 8 degrees for a few days. So it means you can't just kind of do it like we normally do vaccine campaigns, and whereas the AstraZeneca vaccine is much easier to manage, but it will take longer to come here. But that one we will be able to produce locally. So down south in Victoria, I think, is the factory that's going to be producing, I think I've heard, 1 million doses a week. So, if that was available earlier, that might be what we kind of kick off with, but it's just going to take more time.
Yeah, I honestly can't wait to. I've been thinking lately, what is life going to be like post coronavirus? So hopefully this is the start of that. Is there any advice we can give, especially to our most vulnerable, our elders who potentially already have, breathing or lung problems or other chronic health injuries, that where do we go to help put them at ease?
Yeah, sure. It's logical when this is a respiratory condition that it would be the people with chronic lung problems that are the most vulnerable, but they're sort of just one group. So it's certainly people with high blood pressure, with diabetes, and other immune kind of dysfunction conditions, those who are very overweight, that they're all people who are vulnerable for COVID, as well as the age is the biggest factor, of course, the over 70 age group. So, I guess it's, if you have any chronic condition, it's worth talking to your doctor. And I really would encourage those who have health conditions to make sure they're kind of getting their checkups regularly. If you haven't hooked in with a regular GP already, then find your local AMS or another good mainstream provider that you can connect in with, and then they know your health well and can really help you to advise you on the best way to, I guess, avoid COVID around the vaccination stuff as well, and look after your health well.
Yeah, Deadly. And remember, you know, to keep up with all your current health advice, you can go to Deadly Choices Facebook or you can go to the Queensland Health website. And for those who are just tuning in today, I was just having a talk to Dr. Jonathan about all things COVID and about the rollout of the vaccine. Now, how important, we've still got our respiratory testing clinics throughout Queensland. How important is right now, even though the vaccine's on the way and very soon to be rolled out across the country in the first stage, how important is it to still keep getting tested?
Yeah, sure. Definitely very important. That's going to continue, you know, for a long time because, as I said, the vaccine will take time to roll out. But even where it is, we still want to know sort of where the hotspots are, where if there's a cluster emerging so that we can manage that well. And so all the things that go along with that, staying home when you're sick, getting tested, washing your hands, covering your mouth when you cough or sneeze, all the stuff, avoiding kind of crowds where you can, keeping your distance with people, not shaking hands, those sorts of things where we're reducing the transmission, still going to stay important for a long time. Yeah, and I'd say you could argue that forever we should have some level of stopping respiratory viruses spreading to each other because it probably helps particularly for those who are more vulnerable. So, yeah, look, I think continue to do the things. We don't have to kind of be paranoid and looking over our shoulder. We still want to enjoy life and spend time with our family and friends. All that's important. I don't want to get people alarmed and worried all the time, but I think we can, use our common sense and keep looking after each other that way.
Well, yeah, a lot of the things you've just mentioned of staying home when you're sick and making sure you look after your health and your hygiene is I think we should be always doing that anyway. But, thank you for coming and having a yarn with us today, Dr. Jonathan. And if you want to find out your local respiratory clinic, you can head to www.deadlychoices.com.au. Thanks for updating us today, Dr. Jonathan.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right, catch you later. Hey, you mob, if you're just joining us on Deadly Choices radio show for all of our Deadly Choices and what's coming up, we've just been having a yarn to Will, our dietitian, all about, the eating fads and just going back to the basics, essentially. We also had Steve have a yarn to the Bronco Fellas and hearing about their upcoming launch, which is going to be exciting. Hopefully they get back on track this year. We had a yarn to Dr. Jonathan about all things COVID, as we do, just making sure the mob and community are informed about all the things that are going on with COVID and making sure we're still keeping the community safe. And also remember, to keep up to date with all your current health advice, you can head to our Deadly Choices Facebook page and also the Queensland Health website. And that's where you're going to get some pretty reliable information there. But remember, to be involved with any of our Deadly Choices activities throughout the year, you must be up to date with your 715 health checks. So that's all about preventative health. It doesn't take too long to make sure you're on the right track and you're doing the right things by your body and make sure that in the future, there's you can stop it now. You can prevent or limit any kind of chronic disease right now. But also there's some awesome Deadly Choices shirts out and about. So head to your local community-controlled health clinic and grab yourself a really snazzy shirt to style up in. You can tune into our Deadly Choices Facebook for weekly live sessions. I know we have Pearls of Wisdom with Steve Renoff. He's been talking to some deadly people. I think he had Kevin Walters on there the other day. And he gets to talk to the likes of Mal Meninga. Also, you can go to Good Quick Tucker, which you can find some new recipes. I'm sure Will would have had a say in some of those recipes to make sure we're doing right by ourselves. For your little ones, there's a Deadly Kindies podcast play group there, DC Fit, and so much more on that Facebook page. And there's heaps of old podcasts and old live videos to go back and watch and learn a lot about health, I guess, through that. Lastly, our respiratory testing clinics, as mentioned with Yarnin with Dr. Jonathan, there's a few testing clinics here in southeast Queensland. They're still open. So remember that we're not out of the COVID situation yet, and we got to keep testing. If we have any kind of symptoms, no matter how mild, give your clinic a call, book yourself a test. You can find your closest clinic at www.deadlychoices.com.au. And that's all us for today, for tonight's show. So, yeah, we're going to be at the same place, the same time, 6 p.m. every Wednesday night on 98.9 for the best country. So keep making those deadly choices, you mob.
Deadly Choices Radio. A show encouraging mob to make healthy choices, from stop smoking, eating good food, exercising daily, and getting a health check for themselves and their family. Featuring Deadly Choices ambassadors, the Healthy Lifestyle Mob, and many more. So tune in to Deadly Choices after 6 p.m. each Wednesday and on demand at 989fm.com.au.
This Deadly Choices radio podcast is sponsored by Deadly Choices. A deadly choice is a healthy choice.